sucker.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
What?
Do you not know what I'm saying when I say roll that beautiful bean footage?
No.
Megan, there was a commercial for Bush's Baked Beans that had a talking dog in it. And the talking dog said, roll that beautiful bean footage. And then the beans, like a video of the beans played. And everybody was like, I need to buy those beans.
What? You're kidding me.
You have never seen that commercial?
I've never seen that commercial. Well, you guys, I'm Megan.
I'm Maria. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring.
And you may have noticed that we have a couple of guests on the line.
We sure do.
Wait, was that whole thing part of the show that we were just doing?
Of course it is.
Oh, yeah. That's the classic Magic the Amateuring intro.
Yeah. Where you don't know it's happening, but it's happening.
Exactly. You're like, wait a second. Why are we talking about beans? My words have escaped me momentarily.
Megan, I'll show you this Bush's Baked Bean commercial after the show. But what I'm trying to say is our show is starting. Welcome. We're a podcast for magic learners, people returning to the game, or anybody who likes to laugh in the place where laughs come out of. For you, it could be different. You know, for me, it's my mouth. For you, I don't know. Could be anywhere.
Yeah. Personally, for me, it's sometimes my nose.
Oh, what?
You snort when you laugh. I feel like that's like a laugh trying to escape your nose.
Have you ever had milk come out of your nose or something?
Yes.
It's painful.
Yeah, it does really hurt.
This weekend, I heard a story of somebody who had shredded beef come out of their nose.
What?
Yeah, by the way, those voices you hear are from our guests coming up at our show. I should have mentioned that. We've got the boys from the command
zone. We are the ghosts of Magic the Amateuring. We're here to laugh at your jokes.
Maria and I, when we die, we turn into to men, travel back to the past and record this episode with our souls.
Yep, and you guys become Asian as well.
We've got Jimmy Wong and Josh Lee Kwai from Command Zone ready to talk Commander Unlimited with us coming up on our show.
Exactly.
What's it, everybody? What's it?
That's his standard greeting, you guys, is what's it? If you want to hear me and Megan talk about that stupid greeting, you can listen to the Command Zone episode that we're on.
That was so mean.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
Well, I love it.
It's not actually my greeting.
The greeting. Yeah. Yeah. Our episode will be out June 18th for those listening. I don't know what at what point in time anyone's going to listen, but yeah. You'll know now.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Commander. We know you guys out there want us to talk more Commander, so it's going to happen. Celebrate now.
Exactly. And if you want to hear us talk in the Commandery Talk Talks, you can go listen to their show as well.
That's right.
Which we were also on.
Yeah, we recorded it right before this episode.
Exactly.
Which is why we're a little punchy right now. also, we're going to talk about Modern Masters. If you guys are playing that out there, great format. We're going to give an update about that, as well as Origins, Magic Origins, a whole bunch of new cards spoiled, including the Planeswalkers. Look at these guys.
Oh, yes.
Spicy.
But before we do that, Megan, you had something you wanted to mention. Last episode, I suppose I want to mention this as well. We talked about an incident that happened to me at GP Vegas where I was asked to scoop to my opponent, which put me out of contention for day two. We had a lot of wonderful positive feedback from you guys, from listeners on Twitter and such about that incident. So thank you for that. It meant a lot to me. But a lot of people actually offered, I don't know if all of them were serious, but some of them offered the suggestion of rolling for it instead of me just scooping. Megan.
Or even you just suggesting, how about we roll for it?
Right.
As a saucy reply, don't do that, guys.
Ooh, don't do that. Mm-mm.
Don't do it. It's totes illegal.
Yeah.
It's how you lose the game outright.
Exactly. A judge will be like, no siree. Or Madame Marie, depending on if you're a girl or a guy.
That is not a word!
No, this is Madame Marie.
Madame Marie.
I like it.
It's what I say. And so...
Yeah, you can't even suggest it, otherwise it's automatic game loss, so...
Exactly.
You can't even think it, they'll know.
Yeah, watch out.
That part's untrue.
So that's correct. They say the rules very clearly state that you cannot determine the winner of a match by anything other than a game of magic.
You can't randomly determine
it. That's right. You cannot randomly.
You couldn't play rock, paper, scissors either, or no. Flip the top card and see what the CMC was.
Exactly.
Any of that.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's either straight up confession.
What?
It's a straight up confession. One of you is guilty of a murder. The one who confesses to that murder loses. A straight up concession or winning the game outright.
So that's our PSA. Don't do that, you guys. Anyway, thank you, by the way, for all that feedback. It was wonderful. The second little thing we have to say, news alert. Megan recently.
I'm just going to do it under you guys.
Beautiful. Recently, aka today, which is yesterday for all you folks listening in the present, published an article on starcitygames.com. Head over there. It's in the select category, so you don't need to pay to see it, about Women in Magic, and it is fantastic. She's been working on it for a long time, and it's finally out there, and I think personally the best article about it that I've ever read, and it is important, and I think that is evidenced by the number of comments that it had.
Definitely.
I think it's important to share it too, so not just read it, but make sure that you pass it around, because it's one of these things that needs to get out there and more people need to see it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for saying the things that I could not say, because if I said them, I would seem like a dick.
I love the article because Megan, you know, she would send drafts to me and have me give responses, and my response is always like, this is great, this is perfect, this is exactly what we need to say, including like, we would love to see more women on coverage, just more visibility in general, which is my main takeaway from the article, just personally. And and content creation, which is why we're here, creating content for you live and in the world at this moment.
Well, and we've seen that Wizards of the Coast will respond to outcries from the community. So if enough people are talking about something, then they will take action. You know, they brought back Modern Pro Tour from outcry from the community, which is a pretty big deal. So I think we can get, you know, some females represented in coverage if we just clamor for it. So let's start clamoring.
That's right. Storm the castle.
Storm the castle. Get those clams yapping, guys. Let's clamor.
Have fun storming the castle.
That is exactly the scene that I was thinking of.
I told you for Sympatico.
Someone go find a contemporary Andre the Giant to lift that portcullis with their bare hands.
Ooh, I'm down.
Portcullis. Man, that was good word usage.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining a lot of clams attacking a castle. Shooting their little pearl guns.
But in all seriousness, this is something that needs to happen.
Yeah,
it really is. There's no excuse for it. You know, you brought it up in your article. I think it was an extremely good point, which was, you know, people want to use the excuse of like, you know, there's not a female with enough pro tour experience or competitive Magic experience or the top eight finishes or whatever. Marshall Sutcliffe, who is like a great commentator, he doesn't have any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. Are you telling me that we can't find a female who's well-spoken? That's just insane.
I mean, I don't know about you, but did Bob Costas ever pick up a golf club?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a great point. Not enough people are saying it. Every single sport we watch on TV, at least one of the people talking about it, did not even play the sport. So don't tell me.
That's like me on the command zone. I'm just there for good time giggles, you know?
So welcoming to the show, Jimmy Wong, Josh Lee Kwai, thank you so much. You guys host The Command Zone, which is an amazing podcast. Everybody, if you've not listened to it, get out there, turn up your ears, listen to that shit, because it's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Word. What's it?
What's it? What's it, guys? It's The Command Zone.
We've taken your greeting and we've reappropriated it into our own catchphrase. Which is, what's it?
By the way, we will be appearing on their show. They're appearing on our show. It's a magical spit-swapping match of Magic the Gathering.
Wow. Well, the scary part about that is I'm only with Jimmy. You guys are like states away. So does that? I don't know if we want to spit swap.
Maybe we can shake on that and make a deal about that too. We already have another bet going, which you guys can hear about at the end of our.
Jimmy and I have laid down a bet, and it's about the outcome of a game of Magic that Maria and Megan are going to play.
It's a best out of three.
We're really excited.
Find that. Can they just coin flip for it?
No, that. Hey-o.
You two will disqualify us from your bet.
Yes.
So oh, yeah, listen for that bet at the end of the command zone. Speaking of Commander, we touched on this in your episode. Commander is the number one thing our listeners want us to talk about, which we don't talk about enough on a regular basis. So let's just have an overview here. Commander basics. Somebody wants to get into the game. Somebody wants to start playing. What is the best and most efficient route for them to do so?
Well, Josh, want to go for it? We talked about this a little bit before the show
started. Yeah, I think that you guys actually did exactly what you're supposed to do, which is go get a pre-con. There's been a lot over the years. You can go to your LGS. They've usually got a bunch to choose from. Mm-hmm. Choose one that jumps out at you that looks like it might be fun. That's a really good way to jump into the format.
They're playable right out the box. Yep. Just you can do even have to sleeve them up, but you should sleeve them up. Shuffle up and just find someone to play with. But another way to that's really good to get into the game is actually not just going to your LGS and finding a random game to join in on, but actually having a couple of friends that may be interested in going to the format as well. And I think it's a lot easier if you play Magic in general to be able to go into Commander because you get to use all the cards that you've stocked up over the years and build new decks with it or augment your decks and stuff. And so if you have a nice friend group, you have a couple of people that you know that are also potentially interested in the format, that's more than enough to get into something with someone else, and it's going to be a lot of fun because you get to play with your friends in a new way that is not as potentially competitive or filled with feel-bad moments as, you know, a very competitive, like, modern match might be or standard, etc.
I think the important thing you said there, too, is to get a group of friends. I think the first experience with Commander, a really good way to really get what the format's about is to play with like three or four other people. So there's four or five people in your game the first time you play, because so much of Commander is about group dynamics. It's really more like a board game in a lot of ways than it is like one-on-one Magic. So that's just a really good aspect of it that you miss out on if you just play 1v1. And we've heard from a lot of people that, you know, it's hard to get their friends to want to play Commander. Like, they might be interested, but their other friends are spiky, or they like Limited, or they like 1v1, and it's hard to get them in. You know, a way I've told people to try it is to just make an agreement with them or make a bet and say, like, you know, if I beat you in this game of Limited, then you just have to play one game of Commander with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, and you just hook them. And so if you can get them to try it once with a couple of your other friends, I guarantee it's going to be a lot more fun than they thought, and there's a good chance you can get them to play again. So that's one way. I actually have another way.
Oh,
that's a really good way.
Is it blackmail based?
No, it's not blackmail.
We're always really interested in the blackmail based suggestions.
Maria actually sort of came in contact with this way at our party. At our party in Vegas, Maria was there. We had conspiracy drafts. And we knew a lot of the people coming were not going to be big Commander aficionados, and one way to get people interested in a game like Commander is actually to do a conspiracy multiplayer draft. Because conspiracy plays very much like EDH, and what you can do is it's sort of like almost like a gateway, I don't want to say drug, it's like a gateway game into Commander because it gets you used to the social dynamics of multiplayer.
Commander's marijuana. I mean, conspiracy is marijuana. Commander's the straight, sweet, sweet heroin. All right,
heroin, yeah.
Because you know so many people go from pot straight to heroin.
And also usually in groups of 4 to 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
100% of the time.
Yeah, conspiracy is a really great way to do it. And it's also fun if you just enjoy Limited. It's always great to match conspiracy with whatever set is going on at that moment. Like, we did it with Dragons of Tarkir and Favorite Forge packs. And it's just a fun way to augment a draft and make something that's just spicier and a little more fun and just changes up the dynamics a lot. And you definitely run into, I think it's like, there's like a few interactions that always happen when you first play a multiplayer game. And you guys talked about this on our episode, which is the, look, if you don't attack me, I will attack this person next turn. Like, there's a bunch of these sort of, I don't know what you could call them, like staple interactions that happen that really get you introduced to the game. And there's no one that has to sit there and baby you through the politics of it. They always just sort of come up naturally. And that's a really great way to get introduced to that idea and also how powerful it can be if you use it correctly.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for those starter tips.
And I have to say, for 100%, listen to the show that we're on, the Command Zone, because they take our two starter decks. I have Nahiri the Lithomancer, which is a mono-white deck, and Megan has Drevi, a Bant Bird Wizard deck, which were overhauled by our two lovely friends here. So they're going to be a lot better, and it was under $50, so
I really need you to, from here on out, refer to Derevi as Lady Bird Johnson.
Lady Bird Johnson.
Lady Bird Johnson deck.
What's it, Lady Bird? What's it?
Put a Lady Bird on it.
Can you tell me, this is my Maria question for you guys. Can you tell me why you're so drawn to Commander that you were just kind of compelled to make a podcast about it? Like, why do you love this format?
Well, Josh and I wanted to talk about something. We both started playing right around the same time. Like, we got back into the game. I played when I was like 7 or 8 because I grew up in Seattle, and we would play just on the like cement outside of our school and just play the cards barebacked on all that stuff. And Josh, you played way back in the day as well. And I took a break at that point, and I played a bunch of other card games and board games. And I always loved multiplayer games in general. One of my good friends, Matt Arnold, who I've worked with a bunch, we started playing a bunch of board games and stuff. And as soon as Magic came along, and I realized that EDH was something that was like, holy crap, this is what I've wanted from Magic all along, and I didn't realize it. That's what like really drew me to it. And then from there, I guess we just kind of looked at each other and were like, yo, you want to do a podcast?
Well, we were we were also drafting a lot because those are the two things we do the most, is we draft and we play Commander. And we, of course, started listening to Limited Resources.
Oh,
and
that's right. Yeah, that was definitely the big one.
You know, it's kind of a cliche. Like, how many podcasts out there exist because of Marshall and Limited Resources? I mean, it's a high percentage of them. And so we were like, well, Limited already has that podcast, but Commander really doesn't. And so at the time we were working at a YouTube company, Jimmy's brother, Freddie, and Matt, who we talked about, run Rocket Jump, which is a big YouTube channel. And so we had the facilities and all the equipment to make a podcast. And we're like, well, if no one's doing it, like, why not us?
Yeah. And it's something we're both passionate about and have fun doing. It's not like, it's never a bore or a chore, you know, to get the outline. Although sometimes it's stressful, but at the end of the day.
You guys know that.
Yeah.
Yes, well, yes, we do. But I mean, putting a weekly podcast out is no easy task. No.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're like us, where like people are like, how often do you play? And I'm like, well, since we started doing the podcast, we play a lot less.
Yeah.
Because we talk about it more.
That's probably true.
I mean, honestly, it is a lot. It's a huge time commitment. It's not only recording, but it's also editing. It's also promoting it. It's checking your social media, putting it up on other sites, blah, blah, blah. You know, but, you know, the bottom line is we love doing it. So
here we
are.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And to answer your question about why we love Commander so much, for me, the reason is really the social dynamics and the politics. So stuff that you touched on a little bit, Maria, in our episode. Is really what drew me to it, is that this idea that there's more to the game than just the cards. It's also the personalities, you know, that you're playing with. And I've always loved that about games. I was a theater major in college, so, you know.
Wait, raise your hand if you're a theater major.
All right, we're both raised.
We're both raising our
hands. Megan, where's yours?
I'm not raising my hand.
You guys, Megan!
I had such a hippy dippy liberal arts major that it doesn't really have a name. So.
Does it count? It doesn't.
Deal with that.
Theater major.
That is amazing. Yeah,
we'll adopt you.
Yeah, you're welcome to the tribe.
Yeah. Thank you. Harkens to improv and sort of playing a character and playing a role, and that's how I look at playing the politics. Is like, I'm like a city, state, nation, and I'm playing as that, like, you know, the president of that nation, and I have to make my politics that way, and so that's always a really fun aspect of the game to me.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's like, now you're playing with power. Like, the first time you realize that, and I said this in our show too, that your words can have more power than like a $300 card on the table, is a very significant moment of the game. Because I know a lot of people don't play Magic because they're like, well, if I want to build a competitive standard deck, I'm going to have to spend at least $300 to $400, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you can buy a pre-con and win a game of 4 to 5 people with it through just politicking alone.
Yep. Can I tell you a story? Story time with
story
Maria.
Time.
Okay.
Did we lose you?
Here we go.
This is
what happened. I was in middle school and I was in social studies. We played this game where not half the class, we were split into like 5 or 6 different countries. And the country I was in charge of was Condinia, which had all the nuclear supplies. But
wait, these were fake countries.
Yes.
Right. No, no, Continue is a real place. It has all the nukes in the world.
Yeah, right next to Kyrgyzstan.
All the nukes, no food, nothing else good, only nukes. And
clearly,
I worked my way up to president of this country somehow. And this is my favorite memory from middle school, 8th grade Maria. I'm standing on a desk threatening the other two countries that have food with my pen. I'm holding in my hands and I'm like, this is a bomb. I will drop it and wipe you off the face of the earth unless you supply my country with food or whatever. The door to the classroom opens and it's my mom. And she's like, Maria, you have to go to the dentist. And I was like, my power!
Like the Vicker story.
This took finger on the button.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
You were born for Commander. I can't believe you haven't played it more.
Yeah.
I
mean, it was one of my favorite moments of my life. That anyway. So yeah, maybe I should play more.
Yeah, yeah. And you didn't even have to have the nukes. You could just fake have the nukes.
Oh,
too.
That's the great thing. You can just pretend you do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a fantastic memory. Yeah, you were born for Commander if that is your favorite middle school memory. That's how I play the
You're
game.
You're also
sometimes.
Scaring me a little, but
yeah.
We're going to take him down, Coach. Don't worry about it.
All right, all right, all right. Listeners,
Megan and Josh are on a team, and Jimmy and me are on a team. We're going to battle our commander decks against each other. We'll see who wins.
Yeah, team Megan and Josh. Team Megosh.
Megosh. Team Marimi. I like that both of our podcasts also have alliteration. Like, it's Josh and Jimmy, and it's Megan and Maria.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. So.
You have that superhero thing going on.
Yeah, we do. We're all superheroes, guys. Yeah. Today, we are true planeswalkers.
Question. Classic commander decks, is there some, you know, if we're playing a game with, you know, four or five other people, should we expect something if we see certain colors come down? Oh, that's that classic X deck. Or is there just a large enough pool from people to draw from that you never quite know what you're going to see?
There are definitely some staple ones. So if you see Rafik of the Many, it's almost always a Voltron deck. And Voltron, for those that don't know, is a deck that's, instead of putting out a lot of creatures, they're just going to stack a lot of their effects onto one creature and make one really big dude that's going to smash you rather than a lot of really little ones.
Yeah.
Who's some other ones? Caridor is going to play with his own graveyard. So
Whoa. Keep that private.
Caridor, yeah, in his fun times is behind closed doors, him in his graveyard. Yeah, Caridor is definitely a big graveyard interaction and cheating out stuff.
Animar.
Animar is all about creating a huge general and also putting out gigantic creatures by like turn three or four and just cheating out. Again, that's one of those commanders that cheat costs. Una is all about control or milling someone out and swarming them. Someone like Tauron Sky Summoner is just straight counter spells. Really, the commander does say a lot about the deck. Usually I feel like the majority of commander decks are built around the commander specifically because, you know, it's the one thing that you can count on being consistent in your deck. You can always put your commander out because there are rules now set in place that your commander can never get tucked into your deck, etc., if you don't want it to be. So in general, the commander is going to tell you a lot about the deck and how it plays. But the crazy and the beautiful thing about the game is that sometimes it's completely the opposite and the commander is just there for the color identity.
Interesting. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Usually, though, I mean, it's the same with Limited, right? Like, once you see a couple of things come out, you're like, okay, this person played Scatter the Seeds. They're going for the token strategy. You can usually sort of sniff out what a deck's trying to do in Commander as well if you're paying attention to what they're doing and sort of the order they're doing it in as well. So there's a lot of, like, sort of competitive edge you can get from just paying attention.
Very cool. Very cool.
So if you guys out there are interested in putting your toe into the water that is Commander, be sure to check out the Command Zone podcast. It's a fantastic resource for that sort of thing. And we'll keep you up to date on this show as well. Megan and I will play our revamped Commander decks against each other in an
all... For all the marbles.
Oh, for all the marbles.
For all the stakes.
Yep. And we'll let you know how it goes.
I don't mean A-K-E-S. I mean E-A-K-S.
Yes. Yeah.
That was good. That was good. I like that.
Food.
Good time. Going, Josh.
That was accidental.
And remember, the first time that you're going to go play Commander, like the first time that you have sex, make sure it's with someone you know and with a group of four to five people.
True.
Be safe, kids. Wow. Only do it with groups.
That did not go in the
people.
Direction I thought it was going to go. Yeah,
and yeah, I kind of had some twists and turns in that logic, but I like it. It's true. Yeah, make sure you play with friends, play with people you know, and also play with an open mind and don't play. I mean, play to win, but don't, you know, play to win, if you know what I mean. You know, try and have fun with it. It's the same with.
Don't play with the Batman voice.
Yeah, don't play with the Batman voice. Play with the, I think just having...
It's okay to play with a Bane voice, though.
Oh gosh,
I don't know. Right. You don't actually have to say real words. You just say stuff like this. I'm trying to take a breath.
Wow, Bane just stepped in the room over here. Tom Hardy. What's up? I don't know what is going on. Pretty much. He sounds like he's stuck in like a someone playing a tape recorder super slow, like winding it manually or something. I don't know. It's pretty bizarre. But yeah, I'd say have an open mind when you play your first game as a commander and play, you know, you play to have fun. It's a game that you can really play to have fun and not have to worry too much about the competitive side of things.
So if people want to listen to your show, where can they find it? I'm just going to do this in the middle of the show just because I'm remembering to say it now.
Nice. Well, you can check us out on rocketjump.com/thecommandzone. You can also find us on Twitter @CommandCast, or if you go to any of your podcast apps or programs, you can just look up The Command Zone and we should pop up there.
You can also find us on YouTube. It's youtube.com. Just actually, we don't have a good URL right now.
Yeah,
we?
Just look up the command zone
there.
And,
screwed that up.
Yeah, we try and post everywhere. It's, you know, sometimes we miss some spots here and there, but you should be able to find us if you just look up The Command Zone and the word podcast.
Fabulous. All right, you guys, Modern Masters 2015.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, snap. So how many reps have you guys gotten in with this sweet new set?
Like drafts?
Yeah,
online,
man.
I've done probably 8 to 9. And in person, I've done probably 4 to 5.
Yeah, I think I'm right around 15 total.
Yeah.
I think that's where I am too.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit behind you guys, but I build muscle more slowly, so just
You guys, I've heard your show though. You know a little bit more about limited than we do. I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on the format.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this: out of those 15 times or so I've drafted, I've gone 3-0 like twice.
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah,
it's an amazing record.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the rest of the times I play too many 8-4s, my pride gets in front of me. I'm like, I'm not going to play some other 8-4 is truly where the competitor needs to be playing right now because it's the most difficult.
Well, think about this, though. They just instituted 6-2-2-2, right? So
yeah, I love 6-2-2-2.
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Absolutely. Why isn't 6-2-2-2, why isn't it 5-3-2-2? Like, why don't you get anything for getting to the finals above what you would have got?
True.
Like, it's because Swiss.
Yeah, yeah. It
because
is Swiss.
Screw you.
Yeah, because screw you, Josh.
If you're not the winner, you're just like everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Work. Wow.
All right. But no, I totally get that mindset also. Where I'm just like, oh man, what set was it? I was having a horrible time with a set. I think it was Fate Reforged.
It was Fate Reforged, yeah.
Oh my god, I was having a miserable time. And I kept playing 8-4s even though I could not win one to save my goddamn life.
It's a very disappointing feeling when you lose the first round, especially in Modern Masters, when you're like, I just spent $25 to play.
I can't do it with Modern Masters. It's too expensive.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what I've been doing is the Phantom Drafts, because it's only $10. And if you go 2-1, you actually break even and you can just do another Phantom Draft.
Oh, nice. Oh, it's 10 tickets, right?
Yeah, well, it's 10 event tickets or 16 Phantom points. But
and
if
you get Phantom points when you join Magic Online as well.
Yeah, and if you go 2-1, you get 16 Phantom points, so you can just do it again. So it's a good way to get reps in for cheaper. So, and I mean, I don't know about how you guys do it, but I don't play any Constructed online, so it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah. No, I like playing Phantom Sealed events, especially like when these are really expensive sets like this come out, because it's about the same cost. So, and you can really easily, in my opinion, those events are kind of soft. So getting Phantom points back and playing, you know, when you want to test for a GP or something in the future can come in handy.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our top tip for Modern Masters 2015. Megan, tell me if I'm wrong. Top tip, draft token strategy. All right, Megan.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. No, that's correct. All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Draft token.
Now, do you guys force it? I mean, how much weight do you put upon that?
I haven't had to force it yet.
Lucky.
That's amazing.
I feel like it's gotten harder to get in the last week or so.
Yeah, Scatter the Seeds is now an uncommon as far as I'm concerned.
That's fair. I haven't played much in the past week. I have a grad school deadline coming
well,
up.
Well, that makes
sense.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So,
yeah.
That's your priority.
So I haven't, but to be fair, when I was drafting about a week ago, I was feeling like it was just like it was always super wide open.
Well, think about Modern Masters too. Is that like people want to play with the rare that they open if it's usually pretty sweet? So they have a bit more of an incentive to do that in this, just because they're probably like, "Ooh, shiny! You know, I want to play with this card." That being said, yeah, I think you're right about scatter the seeds. You need to start prioritizing that stuff more highly than you would have 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that card is sick.
It's crazy, though, because some of the best commons in the set are in green, like Kozilek's Predator and Nest Invader are both just any... If you're playing green, those cards are fantastic, whether or not you're going to tokens or not. So I find it has been difficult to get into those colors because those are the cards that you're going to see disappearing early from packs. But, you know, sometimes getting a pick 4 or 5 Scion of the Wilds is a great sign that tokens is open.
And I think, like, think about this. You know, I sometimes wonder about R&D from time to time. Kozilek's Predator comes down, you get a 3-3, you're a 2 spawn, and you're just like, a lot of decks are like, I can't beat a 3-3
right yeah, now. Yeah, true. It's true. 3-3 is really big in this format.
Yeah. But that's why a card like Nameless Inversion is so good because of, you know, stuff like...
Kills almost everything.
Cloud Elemental. It kills a lot of big things out there, including, Cloud Elemental. And then the other flyer too, the 2-3-1 and the 4-3 flyers both get killed by it.
I feel like what's been happening lately for me is I take like a couple early green-white archetype cards and then I get pushed out of it. So I end up in 5-color just over and over because that's kind of what you revert to when you're like, I'm in tokens. Oh, crap, I'm not in tokens. I'm in 5-color.
Yeah.
Like, that just happens all the time, it seems like.
Well, Megan did draft an amazing 5-color draft deck.
Yeah, and I love that deck. Though, to be fair, that wasn't one where it started out token strategy. That one started out as, like, kind of like ramp. Mm-hmm. I took the uncommon Eldrazi followed by the common Eldrazi as my first two picks.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It just kind of went bonkers from there.
Yeah, I think it's really, really easy to get screwed in Modern Masters draft right now because it's you want to stay super open because you have no idea what lane you're going to be in, and there could be two people trying to go affinity, and like if you just try and do any of the things just like based on your first rare, you could just ruin your draft based on that.
But yeah. I feel like 5-color is always there.
I feel like 5-color is always there.
No problem. They can have 3 people at the table drafting it, and there's enough fixing for it. Like,
yeah,
I feel like you can always sort of fall into it, which is. Is that kind of a trap then?
Maybe. I don't know. It's really hard to say. I feel like there are powerful enough cards in the set that it's not. Mm-hmm. That it's like usually, you know, because of the power level in Modern Masters is so high, those cards that you see going around late, that even in a normal draft you'd be like, oh man, how am I getting an 8th pick, you know, like this crazy common.
Right,
mm-hmm. And in Modern Masters,
but that's just normal in this set.
Exactly, that's like a ramped like a bigger feeling. Even you're like, oh my god, how am I getting an 8th pick Vengeful Rebirth? Like that card is insane. And I'm in 5-color and I'll be able to play it. And apparently, like there's just no green red player running around.
I feel like 5-color does work for a lot of people at the table, but the power level of it is solely dependent on how good your bombs are.
No, it's how many Savage Twisters you have.
Yeah, how many Savage Twisters you have, how many Apocalypse Hydras you have.
Because you can't beat the green-white deck. You just cannot beat it with 5-color unless you have a Savage Twister or maybe like Wildfire or All Is Dust. Like, you have no chance against... What deck beats the green-white deck? Like, that's what I've been sort of looking for because I've had trouble finding it. And then I always run into it.
It's so hard because there are so many good creatures that are bombs that there's a lot of great one-to-one removal, but there is very few deck. Like, unless you're playing main board Shrivel or something, say, you know, it's like, going to be really hard to...
Just be ready to splash black no matter what. Pick yourself up a Shrivel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is worth it to make your deck that much less percentage-wise powerful just to have a Shrivel in there.
Do you
want to
know
something
I did that combated green-white?
Yes, I very much want to know.
Yeah. I 100% ripped off LSV's, one of his most recent draft videos, where he drafted blue-red control, extreme control.
Oh, yeah.
That deck is insane.
And if you haven't seen it, it's on Channel Fireball. It's amazing.
It is an amazing deck. Yeah, he plays 41 cards, I think by accident, but he just keeps doing it. And he has 4 repeals in there.
Yes.
It's insane.
So but I decided, I got a Niv-Mizzet, and I was like, all right, doing it. And let me tell you, as somebody who's not a control player, how much fun it was to just absolutely mana leak everything they tried to play.
Yeah,
so you just literally sit back and play actual control unlimited, like counter all their stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You should watch LSV's video. It's insane. And I will say this, every draft I've been in, no one is blue-red because no one wants to be in the elemental archetype. But the thing is, you can play blue-red control and do great.
Yeah,
you just don't even do the elemental thing?
No. I mean, you can play some Smoke Raiders and stuff if you have... You know, I think Smoke Raider plus Nameless Inversion is one of my favorite interactions I don't think people are doing enough of. Because if you have enough smoke barriers, you can play that card easily without having to splash black too hard. But yeah, just straight up, if you have some elemental stuff, go for it, but don't go all in on elementals. Go more about the repeals, the mana leaks, the vapor snags, and the even Stoic Rebuttal as just straight one blue-blue, not even Metalcraft.
Yeah, man.
It's pretty insane.
It's sweet. So yeah, we highly recommend that.
That deck beats the green-white deck?
Yeah, because here's the thing.
Stop their scatter this
season. Yeah, they're waiting to your end step to scatter, and they're tapping out all their guys. They're convoking super big, and if you just mana leak it, what are they going to do? They have already tapped out on the man because they're like, oh, I can just tap these three creatures instead, so I can tap this during my main phase. So it really does get them.
Hmm. It was a lot of fun.
He had like four repeals. He was playing an insane number of repeals in that deck.
Yeah, guys, they always did work.
It's tragedy. This was going to be our draft video last week, but my internet died like halfway through.
Oh no!
Research, so.
That's back to back tragedies.
Yeah.
Because I recorded a deck the week before that ended up having no audio on it.
I was like, Megan, there's no sound on this.
It was so good, actually, you guys. So this is the time that I didn't win with green white tokens, by which I mean win the whole thing, because so it's round two that I'm playing, and my opponent gets off to a real fast start. He's red white double strike, and he gets me down to five, and then I stabilize, and I have like 12 creatures on the board, and I'm attacking him, and he's like we have a turn. He chumps away the rest of his team, and I still have like 8 things in play. Jeez. So it's like right on the swing back. This dude is so dead. He has 0 cards in hand. Everything, like all of his stuff, is just gone. And then he top decks Hellkite Charger.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It was really one of the worst things.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, bad beats. Yeah, I mean, that deck
is so disappointing.
That's exactly why that deck is really fragile, is because it can get you down to 8 or 7 or 5, and if it doesn't have a finisher like Hellkite Charger or Thunderblust, then you are just
exactly
you are shit out of luck.
For real.
So, but to his credit, he had it, man.
He had it. Gotcha.
What are your guys' thoughts on the format real quick? I mean, have you been enjoying Modern Masters 2? Personally, I like the first one better. I don't know, but I still like this one. What do you think?
I think there's more to discover about it that we haven't yet, but I like the first one a lot more.
I did enjoy the first one better. I think a lot of that is just that it was the first time that we were playing limited at that power level. And so it's really hard for this one to, even if it's the same, then it's going to be seen as lesser because, you know, the edge has been taken off by the first one. So I think it's actually probably close to as good. Like if you had flip-flopped them and this came out first, then we'd probably like this one better. But I've been enjoying it in general. I love playing 5-color. Khanza Tarkir, this has been my year because Khanza Tarkir just let me draft 5-color for a few months and now I can do it again. And that's just my favorite thing to do in general. So I've been happy with it, even though I haven't been killing it or anything. I've been doing fine.
Yeah, I found it to be more frustrating, honestly, just because there have been so many moments that you just feel like, ugh, I can't believe that this is how I lost this game. And it feels like it happens more often than your regular limited environment, but that could just be me as well.
It's the cost.
Yeah, the cost is really prohibitive.
I like to call it the lottery.
It just turns the volume up on everything to be that, like, it makes you feel like you need to win more, or you need to open something, or there's just automatically going to be disappointment. I mean, if you draft a normal limited format in like a standard rotation block, then you've put 10 or 12 bucks into it, and if you don't open anything and you lose in the first round, it just doesn't feel that bad. But if that's $35 and that same thing happens, that's like 3 of those other drafts, and it does feel bad.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's the nature of the beast, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah, I sit there and I look at my, like, as soon as the first pack's open, I'm like, all right, gotta focus. A lot of money on the line. Hope I open something because I'm probably gonna lose. Ah!
That's have like when I go and play a game of poker and then I'm like, Maria, stop drinking those rum and cokes because you're gonna think there's a 4 on the river, but it's actually a 5 and you just went all in.
Yeah.
True story happened to me last weekend. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We had this guy in our poker group, and he was like one of the he was one of the fish. And the way he was actually a good poker player, but the problem was he couldn't control his drinking. So we just all knew just stay away from him for the first hour and a half, and then he's going to be drunk after that, and you can just win it. You can just tear him apart after that.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
To answer your question, though, I haven't opened anything that was. I mean, like a daybreak. That's not really worth anything anymore. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah. Nothing and you don't even want to open that in limited.
No. Also very true. So when we did a draft with Doc the streamer.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yeah. In Vegas, yeah. Okay. And where he had like a box and we just all drafted it and I opened a Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, oh, nice. Yeah. It was real life Tarmogoyf. That's way better than MTGO. So.
It was still really
did
great.
You, wait.
Like I was
Did you rare draft? Yeah.
Him. No, because it was because he was keeping all the cards.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
When we drafted with Gabe the night before you guys did. I don't know. That guy doesn't sleep.
What?
It was Kenji and Gabe and some of our friends. And but we drafted with our box and we drafted for, first place, got to their first pick of the rare. And what's that called? Rare
drafting, I think.
Yeah, whatever they call it.
A foil Cryptic Command.
That's
was,
what I got.
Was
yeah.
To be Josh's. So
Sweet.
Very nice.
That's
there.
A beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
The best part was though card. Is that Megan opened the Goyf and it went all the way around and you could see as I like looked at it and like Graham and Kathleen like looked at it and then he got it and he's like, oh holy crap.
Because it's actually his.
Like it's mine. Exactly. Oh, that's hilarious.
It's like a Phantom draft online, because in the Phantom draft you'll see like a Tarmogoyf go around because mm-hmm.
Nobody cares.
You don't get to keep those cards. Yeah.
Yeah.
It irrationally makes you feel bad when in a Phantom draft you open a Tarmogoyf. I don't know why, but it does. It's like, oh, why didn't I do a real draft?
I would still just take it.
Like, oh, I picked it. I got it.
All right, guys. Want to talk some Origins real quick?
Oh, yeah.
There's some awesome spoilers, by the way. This set's looking a lot of fun, and it's going to be great for EDH players because... on our episode, we got to deck tech Nahiri, which is a Planeswalker commander. And up until then, you're not allowed to have Planeswalker as commanders. But now, with this set, there's going to be five different Planeswalkers that can be
five
a commander.
More.
Five more, yeah, because they start as legendary creatures and they're flip cards.
Oh, that's... So, I was like, do they have to say it on them? But no, because they're a legendary creature.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's now 10 commanders. There's one. There's two for each color. That you can play as commanders.
As commanders, which is really sweet.
Yeah, these are awesome. These commanders, commanders. Planeswalkers, by the way.
Yeah.
I love the flip card mechanic. I love that about these.
It's pretty cool. Although they continue to try to nerf Jace, and they recently have seemed to be pretty successful.
I would say so.
Yeah, he's an O2 now.
Plus, he's hard to flip.
Yeah, he is hard to flip, especially in a limited environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this guy's going to get... I mean, he's going to... This is like, you immediately kill him if you see him on the board.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't looked at how the removal is. Usually in the core sets, the removal hasn't been great.
Yeah.
That's true. And he does have, like, his creature ability of tapping to draw and discard is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Looting's one of my favorite abilities in Magic. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Me too.
Speaking
of
removal,
these guys are all spectacular.
Sorry, I'm completely interrupted you.
No, it's okay. I was just saying how much I like the cards, but not that important.
There was a card that was spoiled very recently that is a removal spell, Ravaging Blaze, X, red, red. It is an instant. It deals X damage to target creature. However, it has a new mechanic on it, y'alls. Ooh. Spell Mastery. If there are two or more instant and or sorcery cards in your graveyard, Ravaging Blaze also deals X damage to that creature's controller. So that seems good if you can get
spell
it online.
Mastery. Yeah, it's kind of like, what's that, Threshold? Similar to that a little bit.
Yeah.
This is also kind of like, what's that card from? Is it Bloodfire Enforcers? It was from Fate Reforged.
Yeah, Bloodfire like Enforcers.
Yes, it got First Strike and Trample.
Yeah, if you have an instant and sorcery. But this is cool because now it's either or instant and or sorceries. And this feels like a card that is good in the early game because it's just a straight X burn spell, but it's also really good late game because it could be a finisher. And at that point, hopefully, you're going to have that stuff in your graveyard.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I like this a lot.
Yeah. Anything else that you guys are super excited about so far?
There's another red spell called Chandra's Ignition that is pretty sweet. It's 3 red. It's a sorcery. It says target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to each other creature and each opponent. So I can definitely see that seeing some EDH play, especially as a, oh crap, I need to get rid of everything and potentially just win the game and kill a couple of people on my giant Voltron commander or whatever.
It's Chandra's Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama's burning those bodies. Got every man in here wishing.
I was just going to make a car joke, but that is way better.
What do you guys think about Avaricious Dragon? Did I say that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds correct.
I think he's totally cray.
His face is way freaky.
Two red, flying. Yeah. At the beginning of your draw step, draw an additional card. What? At the beginning of your end step, discard your hand. He's a 4/4.
Oh, snap. Interesting. I mean, this card seems sick.
It does seem sick.
Especially if you're getting real aggro up in there and you've played all your stuff anyways.
It's kind of like the Sarkhan Ultimate, correct? From Khans of Tarkir, where you get a draw card. It's interesting. I like this a lot, but I feel like Thunderbreak Regent's still a little better.
Yeah, that seems correct.
I don't know. If this is your last card out of your hand.
Right.
Or even your second to last card, maybe, then if they don't remove it, you have a 4/4 flyer in your draw.
If this stays on the battlefield, you're dead.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because if you play this early game, it's a big gamble, right? Because you're saying, you know what, I'm going to draw 2 cards every turn and hopefully play as much out of my hand as possible. Otherwise, I have to discard everything. But this card actually goes along really well with a card that we just talked about, which is the Ravaging Blaze, because these two are like a nice super wombo combo. Like, just get Ravaging Blaze online immediately.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you discard the cards?
Yeah, because you discard your sorcery.
There's a long way to go for that, though.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely a scenario mentality.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want to do that. I would just cast the 2 cards.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you're the opponent, you also have to think, like, well, do I let this live and force them to discard their hand? Because that kind of is card advantage for me if they can't play the stuff out of their hand fast enough. I don't know. This seems like a great card to play just any time, and your opponent is faced with a pretty difficult decision of whether or not they have to remove it or be on like a 5-turn clock from just dying from this in the air.
I feel like how good the removal is really going to determine how playable this is in limited, at least.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if there's a bunch of like narcolepsy type arrest stuff, then it's okay. If there's a bunch of like, you know, kill target creature, you know, then this is really tough because you have to discard your hand on the same turn you play it. It's not like you get one more turn or something. You play it out and then that end step, discard your hand. So
there is claustrophobia in this set.
So that's okay because at least it sticks around and keeps drawing you that extra card.
I mean, maybe this is just the card that if you draw in your opening hand, you just, unless it's dire consequences, you need to block something, you just don't play it out. And you just wait until you've emptied out your hand and then your opponent has to deal with a 4/4 flyer in the air by turn 7 or 8.
Yeah, and you didn't have to discard anything or maybe just one card.
I like the flavor test text. Waste follows want. That's how I feel on Thanksgiving when I poop.
that's just gross.
You're all welcome.
Is he melting the earth?
Oh, come on now. I'm not buying anyone dinner.
We're taking this trophy home.
That's right. How you're going to feel after Jimmy buys everybody steak.
What do you guys think about Enthralling Victor? This is the hottest Magic card I think I've ever seen.
I know. I have never seen a Magic card where I've seen more of a man's... What are those? His...
Just abs?
Well, yeah, but like...
He's got a 16.
Oh, yeah, no.
He also has... Call them love lines. The one that are like that towards the woo-woos. You know, it's...
towards the what?
The woo-woos.
We are almost seeing the woo-woo there for sure.
We really are.
This guy clearly is prioritizing fashion over like actual battle readiness. I love the look on that little goblin's face though to the right. It's so funny.
That goblin's seen the woo-woo, I think, under that loin.
Yeah, he's like, oh my goodness. Yeah, the guy has about 16 abs, like Josh noted. He's very enthralling.
Yeah. Also,
and he's clearly a Victor.
Yeah.
His name, Victor.
That's just him enthralling Victor.
Yeah. He's not that he was victorious. His name is actually Victor.
Victor. Hello, I'm Victor. I am very enthralling.
How do you like the art on Valor in Akros? It may be the worst art I've ever seen on a Magic card.
Oh, after what color is it?
It is white.
It's white? It looks like computer generated. It looks like bad CGI.
Oh my goodness. The color of the background is a little...
They look like Legos.
They do.
It looks like old EverQuest or something.
Like old school 3D renderings.
Yeah, what is that?
Interesting. It does, yeah, it does feel like it's super 3D. And then are those harpies attacking them?
It's like harpies attacking like some badly rendered dudes.
Yeah, was this card in Theros Block originally or is this a new...
It's new.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, you're right, this is pretty bad.
I just need to call that out because it is like glaringly bad in this entire set.
Yeah,
anyway,
really with the color, there's also like, are they standing on the roof somewhere? Why don't we see any like trees behind them? Are they floating in air to fight the harpies? Like, what is happening?
Yeah,
I just don't have enough of a context.
That's how they all got in the same place.
Yeah, but is definitely. The card good? It's kind of like a bad Cather's Crusade. I think it's not going to be that great. It's 3 and a white for an enchantment. Yeah. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. I mean, in Limited, obviously, it's bad. I was thinking for Commander, but even then, it's
even
temporary. One more mana, play Cather's Crusade.
Yep. This is kind of like the Ambuscade Shaman, but... worse.
But it's not also a creature that can hit them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not just a 4/4 that can pop in out of nowhere.
Something that's important to note, though, as well in this set, is that Prowess has been labeled as Evergreen in Magic.
Oh, very important. And so has Scry, correct?
Yes, and Scry. So we have a card like Jehessan Thief, 2 and a blue Prowess. Whenever Jehessan Thief deals combat damage to a player, draw a card, she's a 1/3. So, like...
I think that's Jessian.
I'm going to stick with Jehessan.
Maybe it's Jessian.
Yes. Sian, Thief. I don't know. This card's good, though.
It's Jesse the Thief.
I think a 1/3 that can turn into a 2/4 in combat is super powerful because it's going to be hard to block. Super hard to block.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but wasn't there a 1/3 for 2 mana in...
The Elder? I think it was a 1/2.
Yeah, the Elder was a 1/2.
Emma, right? Yeah.
There was a
and
one.
That was a Elder was a loot, not a draw.
Oh, that's true. Draw straight draw is really good.
Yeah, this is Johnny Magic over here. By the way, talking about bad art, it's right next to a Crowan Jailer and Eyeblight Assassin where we're looking at it, and both of those cards arts are just like, what is happening over here?
What are these cards?
It's right there.
A Crowan Jailer is a, he's just a tapper for 2 and a white. You can tap him to tap target creature, and it looks like this dude
He's buff,
but he's no enthralling Victor.
He like wishes that he was. He's seen it. He's seen enthralling Victor from afar.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I wish I was him.
Kind of looks like Jesse Ventura, our former governor.
You know?
Yes, it does look like Jesse Ventura. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Your former governor. Oh, yeah. Well, we have another thing in common in that we had like bodybuilder types as our governors of our state. Yeah.
So many connections.
Megan, is there a card you're excited about that's been spoiled so far?
I'm excited for Jesse and Thief. I mean, I like drawing cards.
Yeah.
I really like it, you guys.
Yeah, and I feel like at the 3-drop spot, when you're swinging on this on turn 4, like the biggest creature they'll have is a 2/2 or a 3/3, and
yeah, you can kind of threaten
it easy to block, but it's also just a free attacker because you can just send them in and be pretty safe that they're going to be all right if it's like a 2/2 blocking them or whatever, and they have to worry about trading potentially. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about you guys? Any card here? I know we've mentioned the dragon and some of the burn, as well as six pack McGillicuddy over here that you're looking forward to playing with.
I mean, just I think the flip planeswalkers are pretty cool. You know, I'm a little, and it's not all spoiled yet, but you know, it was called Magic Origins, and I expected a little bit more sort of throwback stuff to like
Black Lotus. You know, I hear you.
Yeah, maybe not Black Lotus, but
just,
you know,
a casual reprint.
And I'm an old timey player from the early days, so maybe I have a little bit more nostalgia than most. But yeah, there's a little bit of disappointment so far in that there's not. You know, I thought like maybe Birds of Paradise would be in here, and it still could be. So who knows? But it doesn't feel right now like it has a lot of that Origins promise. I think, you know, and again, maybe I was misinterpreting it because the Origins maybe only refers to the Planeswalkers and their origin stories.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my feeling right now, is just like, I'm a little, I don't know. It's not getting me super excited because I was hopeful about, you know, the Origins part of it.
Fair.
That would actually be a really cool idea if Wizards went back and said, oh, we're going to just release a set that's kind of like redesigns of some of our classic cards from back in the day.
That's kind of what they did with Tempest.
Yeah.
Remastered.
Yeah.
Online. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's your last core set. It's your last go around with this sort of concept, at least for a while. And it felt like there are some of those pillar cards that have, you know, been like, this is what red cards are, this is what green cards are, this is what blue cards are. And it feels like you should have some of those in a set that's called Magic Origins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair. Very, very fair point.
I'm very interested to see the rest of the rares and if they line up with the Planeswalker specifically. I'm really interested to see if there are any gold cards in this set and what they decide to do with that. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to at least playing with this in the limited environment. It seems so far that it's got a little bit of everything. So we'll see.
It can't be worse than M15.
God.
True.
It really can't, because what can be?
What can be worse than just open Soul of Theros, everyone else loses?
Or triplicate spirits.
Open triplicate spirits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maria found that strategy in M15 to just be force white.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And it works. Yeah, I remember drafting that bunch.
I'm kind of excited to, this is the dream, open a Planeswalker and build a deck that's kind of themed around them. So like Liliana's my girl, right? So I would love to open her and make a crazy, like kind of creepy zombie / healing deck, which is like weird lifelink zombies, and just be like 100% a weird Vorthos about it for one draft. That's what I want.
All right. Well,
that'd be a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet, man.
So that's my dream. Megan, make it come true by passing me a Liliana, please.
You open all the Planeswalkers between the two of us. So.
That's true.
And these are flip cards, so when you draft them, you're going to have to show the table as well.
Oh, snap. Oh,
that's a good point.
True.
Yeah,
I mean, you're just going to take them.
Yeah, of course you're going to take them. Like, but if that says, yeah. Look, pack one, pick one. You're definitely going to know if someone wants to go a certain color, though, if someone opens it, you know? It'll be interesting to see how the politics play out with that.
Yeah, we didn't draft a lot of Innistrad only one time, so we didn't really get to experience that kind of strange world where everybody knew what you're drafting.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I only drafted it a couple times, honestly, so I'm not that familiar. We've had it come up in Chaos drafts a couple times,
but it's
just one pack, so yeah, we're with you. I don't really know exactly how that plays out. I know everybody loved Innistrad draft.
Mm-hmm.
They sure did.
Yeah.
How could you not?
Well, here's to hoping that Magic Origins is a wonderful way to go out with a bang for Wizards on their core sets, and that it's a whole ton of fun, and we'll be watching the spoilers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MTAcast if you want to get up-to-the-minute spoilers that Maria tweets out often with a horrible joke.
That's a thing.
It's a joke so horrible that it's good, though.
Yeah, it crosses that threshold just enough.
That's my hope.
All right.
I mean, one thing I will say is that I get the feeling that this is going to be either directly tied, or it's going to lead us on the path to what the Magic movie is going to be story-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This feels like a really concentrated effort to point us at the movie.
Does that mean Enthralling Victor is going to be in the movie?
I think so. Why else would you have a guy that's that good looking?
Do you know who plays Enthralling Victor in the movie? Megan, I'll give you one guess.
Channing
Tatum? Yeah, thank you. That was a good team effort there.
It kind of looks like Taylor Kitsch.
We're on the same team. That's right, Megan. We're getting free steak.
Oh, yeah.
I like how we're assuming it's steak, too. That's great.
I'm going to name our team Expensive Restaurant Free Steak.
I was going to name it.
I feel like he looks like...
The guy who... Yeah, the Hey Girl, like the Hey Girl memes. That's who I want.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. I'm going to pull it up for Josh.
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, I want Ryan Gosling to play Enthralling Victor.
He doesn't have abs like that.
He... CGI, Megan.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you take the body of Ryan Reynolds and then you put it on Ryan Gosling and then you've got it thrown.
Why would you do that when you can? You already have the perfect human being that exists in Channing Tatum. Like, why would you?
I agree. I think. I think Team Steak Dinner.
Is Channing Tatum that cut though?
Oh God!
Know.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's cut. Yeah. I mean, all right, fine. I haven't watched Mike or whatever, so I don't know.
I was just, be honest with us about how many times you've watched Magic Mike.
Okay, I watched it a bunch. To it every night.
Fall asleep to it, just like I fall asleep to LSV.
It's like it's magic, you know.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Wow. This whole show took a left turn somewhere.
This whole show is a left turn.
I dig it.
Thanks you guys so much for coming on our episode. Tell everybody once again where they can find the Command Zone.
You can find us online at Twitter at CommandCast, or you can go to rocketjump.com/podcasts, and we are there, the Command Zone. And if you just look up the Command Zone on any of your podcast apps, you can find us there as well.
And you can find us, Magic the Amateuring, on Twitter at MTAcast, magictheamateuring.com, iTunes, Stitcher, mtgcast.com, and themeatery.org. Remember, we're also on Patreon. If this show gives you anything that you deem valuable, throw us a buck, and you'll be part of our Patreon family.
Absolutely. And as always, remember to always make waffles where you can't think of a word that rhymes with waffles.
Falafels.
Always make waffles where you eat falafels.
Make waffles, not falafels.
Great advice.